Invite you to turn your Bibles will to the book of Colossians, the epistle to the church at Colossae, and I was trying real hard here to get up a map so we can kind of have a I was going to have you come up here and do that, Brother Mark. Matthew's our go-to guy, right? Paul writes to this church, and seemingly, and we'll be looking for hints of otherwise, but seemingly it's a church to which he had never visited. It seems to be the case. We don't have any reference to this church in the book of Acts. And this is a map, a very simple map of the first missionary journey. Here's another one a little bit more. That one's harder to zoom in to. We see that first missionary journey. And right here is Colossae. Right there. So we're very familiar with Ephesus and the church that's there. We remember hearing about Derbe, of course, Iconium. That's where Brother Paul, in that region, is where Brother Paul met Brother Timothy. But over here's Colossae. And so in this first missionary journey, he doesn't necessarily cover that region. I'm having a hard time making this thing go on to the next slide. Here's the second missionary journey. Very simple. And we see in this that he goes through the region generally described to us in Phrygia. That's kind of the region of the area. And so Colossae is over in here in this area. This map here shows it. So here's that. So, you know, this is, here's Antioch and Pisidia. And then here's Philadelphia. We see that the Lord John writing by the directive of the Lord in the book of the Revelation to that church. Here's Colossae. Here's Laodicea, just down the road from them. We'll hear about them. So just wanted to give you that perspective geography-wise about where this church is. Again, we'll be looking for hints, an indication about him having visited with them, but it doesn't appear directly that he did. Nevertheless, he's writing to this church, and so when we consider about the apostle writing to a church, it's good for us to understand the main theme or the reason for it. You know, the church at Rome, he wanted to preach the gospel amongst them and have a ministry amongst them to edify them and to strengthen them. He lays out a lot of different things and doctrines to them. Church at Corinth, he wrote to them because they needed help. They needed rebuke, and they needed to change their ways, such as that. The Church of Thessalonica, he wrote to them because they had some misunderstandings about some things, and he needed to square that away. And so we want to be looking in this book, as we go through it, what the intent or the purpose of the letter is overall. Many things are going to be mentioned, all good doctrinal substance for us, but we want to understand why. It's good, as I challenge you, as you read and study the Bible, try to get in your heart and mind what's the main drive and subject of the book. Try to do that. Not only learn the books of the Bible, we like to learn a lot of different things. We just have different interests. It's not bad to have interests, And things that we're interested in, we apply ourselves and move ourselves to learn about those things. And if it's something that you really, really like, you take it, you and I will take it and we'll remember it. Because we like to tell about it, we like to do it. Sometimes we do forget things, especially as we get older and we're reminded of things. But what do we have in us about the Bible? So learn those books of the Bible. Learning the books of the Bible is just not a childish thing. It's good for a child of God. And then as you go through the books of the Bible, knowing their placement in that, what's the subject of each book? Just kind of do that review with yourself. And then the next step would be by chapter. What's the theme in this group of chapters? This chapter, these group of chapters. What's that all about? What's that book about? How is it broken down? And then from there, we can even go from chapters to passages in the chapters. What's being dealt with within the chapters? It's a lifetime pursuit. You won't ever get it done. If you're bored by it, then talk to the Lord about that. Tell the Lord you're bored about it. It'd be best for us not to be bored about it, wouldn't it? And learn and get a hold of the Word of God. That's part of the way the Lord will get the Word of God in us. And then the Lord will take what He teaches us and He puts it together for us. Okay? So as you study, as you read, as you take time to think about and continue to keep fresh in your mind about the books of the Bible, you know, make that part of your life. And not just so you can navigate in the Bible, but you know what the Bible, what's in the Bible, and what each book is about, what each chapter is about, and pursue that. It's worthwhile. It's connected to eternity, and it's a blessed thing to do. It's a good thing to do indeed. So this church in Colossae, there in the midst of Asia Minor, not seemingly on any of the paths of the apostle, like cities that are mentioned. We went through that here in recent times, breaking down the cities of all the journeys, and Colossae's not on that list. This region is, but this city in particular is not mentioned, but nevertheless he's writing to them. The scripture says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. So Timothy is with him, and that's an indication for us in time. It has to be a time after he met Brother Timothy, and Brother Timothy is along with Paul in the work. To the saints and faithful brethren. Are all saints faithful? We need to be. There can be saints that are not faithful. May the Lord help us that it wouldn't be us. But he's writing to the saints, all those there that are members of this church at Colossae. He's writing to the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you. The graciousness, the gifts of the Lord be upon you. I pray that the Lord will bless you and gift you with what you need, with what he has planned for you, equipping you. I desire that the grace, again, a summary term, a summary word, grace, can be understood and manifested in so many different ways, so many different needs. Some there needing the gift of healing. Some there needing the gift of courage. Some there needing the gift of understanding and wisdom about what to do, how to lead, from the standpoint of the pastor and that. Need the gift of God and being sensitive to the will of God as a church. A lot of different things that are needed. All being gifted, to be gifted by the Lord and his gracious outpouring upon his children and his churches. Grace be unto you. That's what Paul wants. He wants them to be a success for the Lord. Right? He's an apostle to the churches. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. And so that's the authority that he has. And he wants them to be a success for the Lord. And how is it that any church is a success for the Lord? Being obedient to him. That's how we're a success. We've been successful when we've obeyed the Lord and what he's given us to do. That's when we've been successful. We're not responsible for, as one would say, results. We're just responsible for pursuing what the Lord has given us to do. And he wants that for them. And he prays his desires that the gracious, the gifts of the Lord be unto them and peace. I tell you what, peace, we have peace with God by virtue of what our Lord Jesus has done for us. And I tell you what, we need peace in our church, don't we? And I'm thankful for peace in our church. And we need that from the Lord. We want peace with the world, don't we? Not accommodating the world or excusing the world and their sin, but we would prefer to not have trouble with the world. We would like to live peaceably with all men. We're to pray to that end, to pray for our leaders. Peace within the individual, peace within the church. We want peace with the world. We bear the good tidings that brings peace to sinners, and we're to do so. And the apostle desires peace for them. But also there's a necessity for peace or a desire for peace when there's turmoil and trial, isn't there? We need peace then too. And it's only by conviction to know that this is what the Lord's done, this is what the Lord's called us to, this is what the Lord wants us to do. And we're there and we're weathering the storm, maybe the reaction of the world of that. Lord, help us. Lord, help us if those things come toward us, that we would be at peace. We would rest in our Lord. And as we preach this morning, that we would stand in and keep the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't hold forth ourselves. We hold forth Him. Him, Jesus. We hold forth Him. We follow Him. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever wonder why the apostle in his greeting and the brethren as they write mention the two of the Godhead that way? Well, they're sitting there at the throne of God. The Son is at the right hand of the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father, as was promised him, because he accomplished all that the Father gave him to do to purchase our salvation. He sits there as a man. Jesus is a man forever. From the time that he was conceived within his mother Mary, he will forever be a man. And he sits there as the Son of God, the Son of Man, at the right hand of the Father. It's good for us to remember that and think about that. That the Son sits by the Father. And their will and God Almighty's will has been accomplished and is being accomplished, will be accomplished. And having been saved by Him, they sit there on their throne loving us and caring about us. And desiring for us, our Savior is interceding for us there, and the Father is answering the intercession of the Son for our sakes, for His sake, for us. The Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He prays for them. And when he mentions the church at Colossae, he thanks the Lord. Thank you for the church there at Colossae. Thank you for those brethren, Father. Thank you for saving them and calling them. Again, remember these people there in Colossae, in this region of Phrygia, they were heathens. They were without God. They were estranged from God, estranged from the Word of God and the oracle of God given to the Jews. They were far, far and away the enemies of God. But you know what? Somebody, some saint came there and told them about Jesus. And even the heathen at Colossae were saved. You know, we're not told, we hear about accounts in different cities in the book of Acts. We don't know of any account in Colossae, but no doubt some of the same things happened there. We don't know who might have been healed. We don't know who had a demon driven out of them. But we know that they had the gospel preached to them, and it was effectual. The power of the Lord was present there to save, and He saved these folks. We don't know their names. We don't know how many of them there are. But we know that they were there, and we know they're in glory with the Lord now. And Paul, when he heard about them, he was thankful to the Lord for them. And he prayed for them. You know, we have our sister churches around, and from time to time we mention them in prayer, and we need to pray for them. And I appreciate you, brethren, that do mention them in prayer when we gather together. That's a good thing to do. We don't have the charge like the apostle does for all the churches, the care of the churches, as he had said. He says in another place in the New Testament. But we do have one another. We do have Olmsted Baptist Church and all of her members. And we need to be praying one for another, because we need one another's prayers unto God. We need that supplication unto our Lord for one another. We need to be thankful to the Lord for one another. I'm thankful to the Lord for you and for every member. And we need to pray that the Lord would help and be merciful, that we could all be gathered together in the services. And we need to pray one for another. Be thankful one for another and pray for one another. And bear one another's burdens. He says he gives thanks and he's praying always for them, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Again, their faith is in the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I preached this morning. Paul heard about it. You know, Paul, there's a group over there, there's a church over there at Colossae. The Lord visited them by brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, carried the gospel to them, and there were people saved, and there was a church started there. Is that right? Yeah. He heard about it. He heard about their faith in Christ Jesus. And he heard about the love that they have, which you have to all the saints. They would be at a place there where there would be traveling back and forth and coming over from Syria and coming around the top there of the Mediterranean Sea. If you were heading west to Ephesus, you very well might come through Colossae. And when the saints would come by, they would be, in time it would be made known that these people were there, this church was there. And they said to the saints that would be traveling, come by and see us. It's good to be hospitable. It's a characteristic of the saints. Our Lord has been most hospitable to us, hadn't He? He is continually. And we need to be hospitable indeed. He said, I was thankful for you when I heard about your love to all the saints, your faith in Christ Jesus. I was thankful for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. You are heading You are heading towards the hope that Christ Jesus has laid up for you in glory. That blessed hope that we have. We'll see our Savior face to face. They have already, right? Those that the apostle wrote to in particular in that day, they've long gone on to glory. They're there. They're there. And this message, this word that was sent into them has here been preserved for us. And we are blessed by what's written to them. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. What is that hope that is found, that is in within the word of the truth of the gospel? Forgiveness of sins. Everlasting life. Peace with God. Ability to live a life that matters for the honor and glory of God. Not an aimless life. Not a life without a blessed end in eternity. Tell you what, there's great hope in our Lord. Help and blessing by the salvation of the Lord and to the sinner and the salvation of that soul, but help to live life for Him. He hears our prayers. He desires to help us. He does help us. And the hope laid up in heaven is that we will be gathered to the Lord. Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So many things there in the gospel. In the truth of the gospel is the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be partakers of glorifying Him. We can be partakers of being glorified with Him. Isn't that something? Nothing is restrained. Nothing's held back with the Lord. Which is coming to you, speaking of the gospel, as it is in all the world. I mean, in that day, the gospel of the Lord Jesus was spreading like wildfire. That was the intent of the Lord. So much so that in time and centuries to come, it came all the way over to our land and down through time to you and me to visit us in the time of our lives. The Lord brought His word to us, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. And what does the word, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ effectual, made effectual by the Spirit of God and the visitation of the Lord, bringeth forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100, but it brings forth fruit. And He said, you're manifesting the fruit. He's already testified to that. As it doth also in you, manifest fruit. Since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace, the gift of God in truth. Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And from that general statement, that word there being cosmos, all of the Lord's creation, the sinner, by the miracle and power of God, is brought to believe, for God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son for me. For me. To know the gift, the grace of the Lord, that the Father sent His Son, that His Son came willingly, that the Lord Jesus bore our sins on the cross of Calvary and paid for them there, and poured out His life, His blood, His soul unto death, and gave up the ghost, died, His body died, his mortal body. He died, was buried, and he rose again. Not only to pay for our sins, but as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, to give us eternal life. Because he lives, we live forever. See how when we take that word, grace, and we understand, we take it and we break down the parts of it, and know the gifts, the grace of God and truth, I tell you what, it's more than we can get described. It's more than we can list. But they heard it. And they believed it. No other God that they had ever learned about in their lives or that ever had been presented to them, whether it be Phoenician gods, Babylonian gods, Egyptian gods, Greek gods, or Roman gods, not a one of them compared to God Almighty and the work that he had done through his Son. They said, yes. Yes. I think about those at the Mars Hill, Aragapirite. I'm missing something there in the middle. You know, that's the way they had been. They had been there ministering in that and ministering in that. We don't know for how long, but they had been brought up in it. And Paul goes there to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes this connection about that we are the offspring of God. We are his creation. And that he's not a long way off, like they were told that many of their gods are. We know they're all false. We speak that just to explain it. But he's very near. And that we need to just receive him and believe him. Believe and trust in the one that made it possible. The one that that God sent to give his life and died, was buried, and brought his life, took his life back again. Life again. Immortality. They knew the grace of God in truth. As you also, verse number 7, learned of Epaphras. Now this is not Epaphroditus, like we read about to the church at Philippi, but this is Epaphras. Another brother, as we recently took a look about the ministries of the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul as they're counted in the Scriptures, and how those several different men, many men are involved in that ministry, running, going before, staying behind to minister to those churches, to teach them things, and to go and to minister in particular things at the directive of the Apostle Paul, and things that they lacked, or things that they did not understand, or where there was issue or error that needed to be dealt with. Epaphras is one of those. He says, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. He's working with me in this. Who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So he seems to be from the church at Colossae. And he's there with the Apostle Paul, ministering with him and to him. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. That's capital S, Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Love in the Spirit. That is indeed true love, brothers and sisters. The love in the Spirit. Love for God and love for His Son because He first loved us. Love for one another, for saints, brothers and sisters in Christ. We're made partakers. We are members of the family of God. Love for sinners. Love for sinners who are in the condition and shape that we were before the Lord saved us. And the desire that we would have, that we have for them to be saved too. We can't save them, but we certainly can tell them about the one who can. And Epaphras declared to Paul, said, they love the Lord there, Paul. They're busy about the work. When the gospel came, we heard it, and the Lord saved us. We're so thankful for the one that brought the gospel to us, for the one that the Lord sent. I wanted to come here and minister with you. I'm bringing you word about them. And Epaphras declared unto Paul about their love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, as is mentioned earlier, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, with the knowledge of God's will. What does the Lord want you to do? I want you to be filled with that. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, the wisdom of God, and spiritual understanding. Paul wants for them to see things the way the Lord sees things. I think that's the best summary that we can have for what's mentioned here, is to see things the way God sees it. Not the way I see it, but the way the Lord sees it. He's praying for them that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will, and that they would have that knowledge of His will and all wisdom, the wisdom of God, and spiritual understanding. You know where we can get wisdom and spiritual understanding and knowledge? From His Word. From the book. The book. And in consuming the book, as I mentioned early on in the message, by consuming the book, and then praying to Him, to take it and direct it unto us and help us that we might see the application of it in our lives, we can understand His will. We can have His wisdom. And we can have spiritual understanding. You know, as a church, the Lord has promised us that. He's promised us that. As His children, He's promised us that. James declares unto us, if we lack, we can ask. And the Lord is liberal giving wisdom. He's liberal. He loves to do it. He loves to do it. He says here in verse 10 that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Pleasing self? No. Pleasing one another? No. Pleasing the Lord? Yes. That we might be good witnesses and testimonies. Walk worthy of the Lord. Of course, when we're obedient, it's pleasing to our Lord to be obedient. But is our walk a testimony of good things directed towards the Lord? That's what it needs to be. That we need, that when someone would look upon us or hear us speak or see how we live life, that they would say, you know, they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They seek to do what Jesus Christ wants them to do. They claim their Lord and they live it. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful, as is mentioned earlier about bringing forth fruit in verse number 6, fruitful in every good work, not in evil, not in the worldly, but good works. And thereby, if you will, an increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, it's a repetition, but it's never going to be the same because life changes. New people come into our lives, new situations come into our lives. We're all getting older. We're all going to be facing different things. But we walk where we live by faith, we walk by faith, we supplicate by faith, we seek the Lord's face by faith, we look into His Word and consume His Word and ask Him to help us understand it by faith. Just keep on going and keep on going and keep on, just like it is with the Great Commission for us as a church. We just keep on repeating and keep on repeating and keep on repeating. That you might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, the power of His might, according to His glorious power, not our own. We don't know if the church at Colossae was a great church in number or one small in number. We have no idea. But you know what? It doesn't matter. One of those churches there in the book of the Revelation in chapter 2 and chapter 3 was very, very weak. Very weak. They were no less a church. They were no less doing the work of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That joyful continuance, that continuing joyful and endurance that we mentioned about this morning, patience. See, we can grit things out and make it through, but not be joyful in doing it. That's my tendency, is if something comes along that I don't prefer and don't want in my flesh, I can knuckle down and bear through it, but not joyfully and not with joyful continuance and not with joyful endurance. But that's what patience means in the Scripture. And may the Lord help us that we would be strengthened. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Because there's going to be things that we're just not going to prefer. There's going to have to be long-suffering with one another, with the things that come upon us in the world, with the frailty of this flesh. That's going to be the way it is. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or suitable. He's made it to where it was impossible for us to be, but by what He has done for us, He has made us to where we could be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's made us to where we can be. Again, by that imputed righteousness of Christ and the justification that comes with that. And listen to that. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, the glorious, glorious light of our Lord, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated. The Scripture speaks about that metamorphosis that's taken place. We're new creatures into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So He's taken us and translated us from darkness to the kingdom and to this light in the kingdom of His dear Son. And He's paid for our sins through His blood. We've been redeemed from those. Even the forgiveness of His sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. A view of what Jesus is. A real understanding about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need. If we have knowledge and we have vision because of the light and we have the wisdom of God to understand about the Lord Jesus Christ, it will do nothing but help us. And so, Lord willing, next time we'll pick this up here to hear about the to hear this this picture of the truth of who and how the Lord Jesus Christ is. It's really something, as the Word of God, you know, we hear that in the Scripture, that there are mysteries in the Word of God. And we hear at the beginning that God created. But now, in this New Testament passage, this epistle written to this church at Colossae, we're going to get a more zoomed-in look at what happened in creation. And what and who our Savior is, and how He is, and what He has done, what God has done through the Son. And by Him we've been translated from darkness to light. Our sins have been paid for by His blood. We have the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God? So we'll see about that in time to come.